Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Won't dig, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Gonna get me come Christmas. I think I already know I shot the mistletoe. Even though it's early December, I know we'll be putting up lights come Christmas. We'll be baking a ham, boiling the jam. Gonna be a night to remember. Get the very best gifts come free. Oh, oh, I guess I have to wait till Christmas. Dancing by the brass band, my baby won't it be stellar. Gonna be a night to remember. So bring on the bell and carols with bell. Oh, sugar plum, bring on the bell.
Again with the Billy. 12,000 times?
Crazy, right? Numbers!
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program.
We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. I've been told that you guys were playing the worst bits of the history of the show, but you left out by far the worst bit in the history of the show, which was Smitty Rates the Snacks.
I forgot about that one. That should have been in there. We were just talking about how whenever anyone recognizes that or a bit is awful, the two ones that always come up are What's Tapping in Different Strokes 8-Ball. Like, those are the two ones that are instantly mentioned.
But those could be ironically enjoyed. Smitty Rates the Snacks was just god-awful.
Well, we talked about the levels of, like, bad. And I was like, you know, there's the five... In my idea, there's five levels. There's, like, a great bit, a hit, and then you've got a good bit, and then you've got one that is so bad that it's good, which I like, and then there's one with no reaction, and then there's one that's just awful. And we were trying to think of, like, ones that were just horrendous. And Smitty Rates of Snacks would definitely fit that. I just completely forgot about that. It's funny because nobody talks about that one, but that one was really bad. We played a little bit of What's Tappening yesterday, just like one or two of the clips. And all of a sudden, revisionist history. Everyone's like, I always loved What's Tappening. Like, No, you didn't.
No one loved that.
No,
What's Tappening was a bad bit.
It actually made me laugh listening to it yesterday. And it was more from just the, oh, my God, that exists. And, but I will move that up to the so bad that it was entertaining. I heard the bit, or at least 5 minutes of the one you guys did the other day.
Yeah.
And I told the story, but I was driving into jury duty and I heard you say around 7:40, cause I had to be there like around a little after 8:00. And you say, we're going to move it to 8:40. And I'm like, oh, this is the one with Nick and Bird. And I was like, I got to hear it. I was so pissed you guys moved it.
I just kept moving it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have to, so less people would hear it.
And then I got out of, I had a break like around 10 o'clock and I turned my phone back on and I just had a bunch of tweets saying, that's the worst bit in the history of TNR. And I'm like, well, now I have to hear part of it. And I loved it. I have to be honest. I thought it was great.
Rich wants to do it once a week.
I was obviously being sarcastic with that.
I know that.
But I mean, you know, that was not anywhere near the worst bit in the history of TNR. Worst executed, maybe. But man, was that entertaining.
Yeah, well, the fact that Nick, it was too much pressure for him to come up with anybody to impersonate, that he had other things to do that evening, which is literally... You just have to think off the top of your head of someone.
Right, or just, right, on the fly, just mention something, you know? Like, there's just any person, imitate them, anyone.
Right, just anyone. And you know you're not going to be able to do it well, so just do anyone. And then Bird not getting the thing that was repeated to him 10 times that you couldn't use actual quotes from the person. So there was, if you were playing charades with them, you would say, I was the star of Scarface. I was in Dog Day Afternoon.
It's like, no, you can't do that.
No, that would make it very easy.
Yeah, and like the mispronunciation of words, everything, it was wonderful. I thought it was 5 minutes of pure chaos that I heard.
Yes, it was a tour de force.
Deterrent? Was that the word?
Yes. Okay, yes, right. Deterrent.
he pronounced it many, many ways.
I mean, listen, I botch stuff all the time, but that was kind of funny how it just, that might have been like three attempts.
In different times, different ways each time.
Yeah. So that was a... I'm trying to see if we maybe even have the intro to Stoner Smitty Rates the Snacks.
I don't want to play it.
Like, I don't even know if that still exists.
No, it's not even, it's embarrassing. Like, it's not even, cute. Like, it's just awful.
I don't mind showing the warts.
No, but it's really bad.
It's an unrated time. I don't care. I don't
There's
even
still
know
if an audience
still
listening.
Exists. Yeah. Sure.
I mean, that was a complete and utter... That was douche chills inducing awfulness. So, Robert Mueller expected to release details of his investigation today.
Oh, today's the day?
According to the news, that's what they're saying.
Okay.
Because a little bit's been leaking out, or not a little bit, but I mean, you've had details of what he has been going for over the past couple of weeks. So you could tell that something big was going to happen soon.
Everything's redacted. Which I don't care for.
Well, that obviously means that there's some serious crap in there that they don't want people to know about just
well,
yet.
Well, you got
to
let me at least know. or do it when you do get something wrong on a typewriter and you just put X's over it.
Yeah.
And you can kind of make out what was there.
Sure.
I don't like that they redact things. What, do you think they're better than me? They got to redact everything all over the place?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what's doing over there with the papers that they release.
Yeah, that should be interesting. So we'll see what time that comes out.
Yeah.
By the way, once again, we are on Twitch where you can watch the show just as we were on television. And this time we get credit for it, which is fantastic. But the best thing about Twitch is if you go to, first of all, it's twitch.tv, search the Sports Hub, or you get the app, is that once you go on there, there is a a chat room and you can connect with the show. And Nick is on it constantly throughout the show. But starting yesterday morning... There was a gentleman who logged on, and that man is one Mark Jamelli who's there.
Do I keep my pants on, or do I take them off? I get home.
Keep your pants on.
So you've got dual Jamellis on there right now, moderating the board. So if you want to talk to the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Mark Jamelli.
So he's just getting up in the morning now and logging on to Twitch. And
well, it's his.
Is he spending 4 hours on it?
I don't know if it's 4 hours, but yesterday he got on probably around 7 o'clock. We had a couple issues yesterday with the stream, but it was around 7 o'clock he got on, and then he got back on it. It was funny because I mentioned at 9:30 that he was on there, and the amount of people on Twitch doubled.
It got up to 200.
Went from 2 to 4, actually.
Kelly's roast beef. Another one of my favorites.
Look out the window.
And then Nick and Bird were fighting
McDonald's!
Yesterday.
McDonald's! Golden Arches!
He essentially said that. Yeah.
Calhoun's. Wow.
Calhoun's.
Oh, I'm out of the house.
So Bird was in one room, the other studio to her left, and Nick was in the studio to the right, and they're fighting with each other.
Why was that?
I don't know.
Good question.
The break yesterday where I tried to ask them what was going on was just I don't know. And then Bird was I don't know why we're fighting. And then he was running to one room and Nick was trying to get the Nick was, and I don't blame Nick. Boy, his head was on fire yesterday.
It was a rough day for
Nick. It was a rough day for Nick, and it wasn't his fault. But, man, he was just as stressed out as it gets. And then you got Bird on top of it. Yes, Bird.
Why were you fighting?
Me and Nick were fighting because someone asked, where's Brandon Merriweather? I'm like, oh, he has a restaurant in Florida. He's been busy with that. He hasn't been able to come on. And Nick's like, shut up, Bird. I'm like, no, you shut up. Make me. We started fighting like that.
Wow.
And did he make you?
Bird's now the spokesperson for the show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, take that,
silly goose.
All right. So so it sounds like it was a wild time yesterday.
Boy, did you miss everything.
Yep. I know. You walk away, and then all hell breaks loose, and it sounds like there was some fun.
How's the squirts?
I mean, whatever. It was fine. I have the Girl Scout cookies today.
Mm-hmm.
The sign of the times.
It was great. Fred walks in and said, make with the Girl Scouts. Yep. Drops the page right in front of me.
Everyone buys Girl Scout cookies.
I've already bought like 20.
Well, too bad.
You were the first one I've gotten, Fred.
Yeah, I've given you plenty of money in charities. Buy some
yes,
cookies.
You have. I will buy some cookies.
That's right.
So what is the, I've seen like sneaky ways that different Girl Scouts around town have been very smart about selling like a buttload of them. As a matter of fact, apparently there is a group who went out to one of the dispensaries like about an hour away. And you want to talk about making a killing and going viral. That's how you do it. And so I guess there was someone who went out there and did that. I saw people at this like a whole like entire Girl Scout cookie van that was at some like street festival down the street just the other day. Like, I mean, that's the hustle. That's the hustle right there. And I guess it's like frowned upon for you to like have parents put things on Facebook. There, I saw a Facebook fight the other day between Girl Scout mothers, which is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I don't think anything. My daughter's brownie troop is overly excited enough to pull some kind of shenanigans. I think it's basically you take the thing to work and make everyone buy them. And then that's going to be a big hassle for me because then you got to bring in the actual cookies. Maybe I won't even do it.
Just ask for the money and not deliver?
Just give me the money.
Yeah.
Put it in the sack. All right, Rich, a lot of what was happening last night. What's going on?
No, the Bruins put out a better effort than last time out, but still not enough. And the Celtics, maybe they finally figured this out.
All right, we'll have all that in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Five to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin'. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin'. Dunkin' Go Twos. Participation may vary. A better effort than the last time out, but still it wasn't enough.
And it's cleared by Cirelli. He'll race over the line. Into the slot. Backhand. He scores. Short-handed. 3-1 Lightning.
Well, the Bruins threw a pretty good shorthanded punch at the best team in hockey, but in the end, it wasn't enough. They lose 3-2 to the Lightning, and the Bruins, they put together one of their best periods of the year in the second. However, the Lightning started the third with their hair on fire, scoring two quick goals within the first 5 minutes.
Now, Killorn feeds it out in front, backhand, and they score! Turned over in the neutral zone, transition hockey, and the Lightning with a 2-1 lead.
Now, despite David Pastrnak scoring his 20th goal last night, which, of course, is absurd, seeing that it's only December 7th, this team has had a major scoring problem putting the puck in the net. I mean, for the ninth time in their last 10 games, the Bruins have scored two or fewer goals. That is not going to work against a team like the Lightning. And here is Bruce Cassidy on some of the problems that he sees going on with this team.
Tonight is a little more disappointing, to be honest with you. I mean, we're right there. Guys that have been in the league, who just, whatever, mishandled pucks, and then all of a sudden, then we have opportunities maybe to get plays, then that shots get blocked. And, you know, listen, we had a few passengers. I mean, we can't afford that against a number one team like Tampa.
Ooh, the passengers word. That is never a good sign when the coach throws that one out there.
Well, they picked up some guy from Dallas off waivers.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep.
So here he comes to save the day.
Sure. Yeah. Some guy I've never heard of off waivers. So that's going on.
Cassidy further colored his criticism of the team.
We beat ourselves, and good teams don't do that. But, you know, we did. Let's face it. We had possession of the puck and opportunities to make plays, go on the attack. In fact, we were on the attack on the shorty, and we just didn't get it done.
Yeah, I mean that it was a it sucked because I don't know how much of you guys watched of that game. It's funny, I happened to watch because I was flipping between that and like the Celtics. I watched a lot of that second period, so I was thinking to myself, "Wow, this team looks really good against a pretty good team." And then, of course, I didn't get to see the beginning of the third when that happened, and that's the way the cookie crumbles. So.
Take a look at the roster. I was talking to Dan O'Brien about this earlier in the show, or earlier before we started. Take a look. Just look at the rosters on paper, and the Bruins never should have been in that game. Yeah. Tampa's loaded, and the fact that they were there is a credit to Bruce Cassidy just getting what he has to play. I mean, they are so woefully shorthanded up front, especially. I mean, the young guys are doing nothing. And Pasternak's on a pace to score 59 or 60 goals. He single-handedly is dragging his team along. Boy, do they miss Bergeron.
Yeah, Marcia especially.
Oh, my God, do they miss Bergeron.
Yep. He's the one guy they can't lose.
Yeah.
Well, one bit of good news is that Charlie McAvoy finally able to return to the lineup. Here he is afterwards on how he felt being back on the ice.
First period was tough, trying to shake some rust off. Kind of stepped on a puck there. I mean, that's how it goes sometimes. You know, when you're not rusty, sometimes you can get bad bounces. But second and third, I thought I kind of came together and started playing my my brand of hockey. So overall, first game back, I was just thrilled to be out there.
Where are we on the Chara count? Are we 2 weeks in? So we got two more weeks left until he's reevaluated?
That's about right.
That sounds about right. So slowly but surely, and then you got Kevin Miller's got about three more weeks, and then we don't really know with Patrice, do we? I thought he was at the same time that Chara was going to come back.
Yeah, Chara's last game was November 14th, so almost a month.
Wow, okay. Well, then sooner than I thought. So maybe in a week or so,
well,
we might be able to get him reevaluated.
But have we heard anything?
No.
No, but you've then again, they said they weren't even going to reevaluate him for 4 weeks.
Well, it's almost time.
Yep.
Yeah, and so I mean, hopefully they don't fall. I mean, they're starting to fall behind a little bit here. And it's going to be very difficult to come back.
Bad luck. They play in one of the toughest divisions in hockey. They happen to play in the division with the two best teams in the NHL.
And this is the time they have to make a move. I mean, they're going to lose this core. They have to make a move this year.
But and they asked Cam Neely about that this week, and he was saying, well, I mean, look, what are we going to deal, and what big piece are we going to get back without losing a lot of what we have? They're in a tough spot. I mean, they've been built to leave this young core alone, hope it develops fast enough so that they can compete with the stars they have before they age out. And all the injuries they have kind of just blown that plan to bits. But I don't know what you do if you're Neely.
I mean, you have
all your young forwards are underachieving, well, so you can't trade them.
Well, you screwed up the whole 2015 draft,
right? And all the young talent you have on the back end is hurt. So I mean, what do you do?
Well, you have Carlo playing. You have Grizzly playing.
I know, but are either one of the major pieces?
No, but, I mean, you can package up. I mean, if there's a team that's desperate to get younger and they're desperate to get rid of a quality forward, I mean, you got to make a move.
I know, but I guess what I'm saying is I don't think you have the pieces to go get the impact guy you need up front. They are so shorthanded everywhere in the top nine. I mean, I don't think just getting one guy, one major piece doesn't do it. You have to have the guys you have play better.
Well, you at least have to trade for depth. And
fair enough.
And, I mean, they're going to have to. I mean, if they don't, it's a disservice to their core. I mean, they got to trade for depth. We talked to Jaffe about it. They got to trade for they don't even have a third-line center.
Hey, they claimed that guy off waivers from Dallas.
Yeah. That fella.
Yeah.
It was a big thing on Instagram. There was a big picture of him, and I said, I have no idea who this is.
But he's a Bruin.
Yeah.
Well, things don't get much easier when the Maple Leafs visit town tomorrow night. As always, you can hear the puck drop right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. So with the dreaded away Miami game coming up, Bill Belichick sat down with Scott Zolak on that whole coffee with the coach thing.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, Scott Zolak, one of the few people on this planet that can actually make Bill Belichick smile. And here he is talking about the streak of losing in Miami, or not the streak, but the frequent occurrence of the team heading to Miami and somehow losing.
No, I think we'll be ready to go. I think we've been ready to go. I'd say they've been more ready to go than we have, and they've executed better and, you know, been better prepared probably than we have, I mean, based on the results. So, you know, we have to face that, and we have to try to find a way to improve and do better than what we've done. Certainly better than what it was last year down there.
The team stays in, like, Fort Lauderdale, right? Like, they stay pretty far away.
Zolak was quick to point out they stay far away from everything. So as not to distract.
Well, the stadium's halfway between Miami and Fort Lauderdale, right?
Yeah, but that's
right.
Still like 40 minutes away. Like, I mean, people always underestimate just how far those two cities are from each other. I think, like, especially with all the traffic and the lights and everything to getting there.
It's an hour, right?
It's like, it's a little more than an hour.
Fort Lauderdale and Miami?
It's more than an hour to get there. It's like maybe like an hour and 20 minutes. It takes... It's longer than you think it is. And I know some people who like to go out of town and, you know, Miami's their game they go to every year. Because
I will be there Sunday, boys.
You're going to the game?
I'm going to taking the family to the game.
Ah, very nice.
And then you're flying back that day?
No, I'm taking Monday off.
Oh, that's right.
Very nice.
That's right, you can.
You got the wild card. You got the wild card in for me on Monday.
Oh, really? The Hook?
The Hook Man?
The Hook Man will be here.
Oh, we don't get the Sarge?
No. I looked ahead to see. It's Marshall on Monday.
Oh, they could have given us the Hook.
Yeah. How are tickets available nowadays?
They're available. They're available.
Was it basically pick a seat?
No, it wasn't that bad, but yeah, you can go. It's not hard.
Are you guys staying near the arena? You guys
No, we're staying north near Palm Beach.
Okay. So, once again, it will take like an hour and a half to get there.
Yes, that's right.
So, go ahead. There you go. A real-life Wallachat.
That's right. I'll be there.
In Miami. So, Josh Gordon was asked yesterday about Tom Brady and his tutelage this season and what it's meant to him.
You know, I came in, I think, with the idea of he was a hardworking guy, and he's done nothing but shown that continuously and consistently. You know, he's a... family man, he loves his family. You know, he's on FaceTime with the kids. It's something I can relate to with my family, my kids. He enjoys the game. He just enjoys, I think, with everything that comes with it. And it's good to be able to be in such close proximity. I can learn from it. I look up to the guy, and he's doing everything right. So I just enjoy the time around him.
Are you shocked that Josh Gordon hasn't slept since he's been here?
No, I am.
I kind of am too.
I am.
And listen, it's a pleasant surprise. I didn't think that, you know, it was one of those things where I thought that if it worked out, fantastic. And it seems like he's finally getting the playbook and he's figuring it out.
This is working too well.
But this
I
thought he was going to be better. I mean, I thought he was going to be better on the field. I'm not shocked that he hasn't done anything off the field.
Well, he didn't joke, but yesterday he was asked about it as well, and he was like, man, my conditioning when I first got here was just, it's bad. And he goes, now it feels good to finally be in game-playing shape.
Yeah, but he was supposed to be this massive freak, and he hadn't played in a long time.
Well, he's also going into a system that everyone has said is ridiculously hard to pick up, and he's done a pretty good job.
That's the thing I'm most surprised at, because he's one of maybe two or three guys that has stepped in off the street and done pretty well.
Have they asked him to – haven't they simplified things a little bit for him?
I don't think so. I mean,
I think in the beginning they did.
Well, I mean, they limited him to only a few things when he first got here, and then you've seen the evolution of it in the weeks since he's been here. I mean, they've put him out there. They didn't even send him in motion the first few weeks that he was here.
Right.
Then they started doing that and moving him around the formation, like, oh, then now he can go in motion.
He would be more of a physical freak still. I mean, he's not old, but.
Remember he was running, he was all by himself, and the linebacker caught him because he just ran out of gas near the goal line.
Well, he even talked about that, like his conditioning is not where it needed to be.
No, I mean, that's example number one. He was by himself and got run down before he reached the goal line.
But I guess the best testament to like the fact that he seems to have picked up the playbook is that Cordarrelle Patterson, who was here this entire offseason, every time he gets out there, Brady's like, wrong spot.
I know.
I mean, like, I don't think there's a play where he gets on the field where Brady doesn't have to reposition him.
He was there during passing camp. He was there during training camp.
And he still doesn't get the
still
play.
Still doesn't understand it. Yep.
Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right, let's talk about the Celtics. You seem to have figured things out.
Okay, we will have the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Five the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what's going on?
Well, it's looking more and more like the Celtics have finally figured this thing out.
Marcus Smart lobs for Horford, throws it down with two hands, this time on the baseline. That was from behind the three-point line. Marcus Smart lobbed that up, 65-55, Boston by Tannen. Boy, Smart knows how to throw that lob to Horford.
Well, when the Celtics lost the Knicks over 2 weeks ago, it felt like the low point of the young season. Ever since then, the Celtics have rattled off 5 wins out of the last 6 and 4 straight, including last night's 128-100 win over the Knicks. Revenge game!
Yeah.
Finally, it is theirs! It was Jaylen Brown's first game back after injuring his ass, and there was much talk about how he would react to coming off the bench. If last night was any indication, off the bench suits him perfectly.
Yabusele a steal. Rozier for Jaylen Brown. Thinking about it, instead he's going to drive this time. In the paint, switches to the left hand and scores. What a night this has been for Jaylen Brown.
Boy, got the contact. Looked like he had the arm. I thought he was going to get a foul.
Okay, I'm withdrawing any qualifier about this being Jaylen's best game of the year. It is by far now.
Yep, Jaylen Brown comes off the bench and has his best scoring output of the season. 21 points. Most of those hard fought in a place where the Celtics have been afraid to go for the first 20 games. In the paint, he went 7 from 12 for the field and put half the Knicks in foul trouble. Al Horford was a monster last night. He had 4 block shots, and Kyrie was Kyrie, leading the Celtics with 22 points and 8 assists. Now, Kyrie, for one, understands that the team's returning to winning comes down to effort and maybe a dose of good old-fashioned embarrassment.
You know, I still remember certain players on the other team asking us what's going on with us. You know, we were 10-10, so... Yeah, keep that same energy. So, yeah, I want that same competition and just seeing where we end up, you know, a few games from here. But we take it one game at a time, continue to get better, and take advantage of the opportunity that we have every single night that we play against these great teams in the NBA.
Now, at one point, Kyrie did walk off the court holding his shoulder, and he was asked about it after the game.
It's just a weird play at the end of the game. I don't know. It was like I got caught up, and then as I was trying to get the ball out and pass it to Marcus for a three, you know, it just caught me weird on my shoulder, so probably AC joint or something like that. I'm not diagnosing myself for anybody, but, you know, I'm pretty sure I saw doctors afterwards, and it's probably just an AC joint, something going on in there, but I'll be all right.
Yeah, according to Brad Stevens, too, it doesn't seem to be anything they're concerned about. However, Jaylen Brown seems to be very happy now with his return and how it went. Here is Mr. Sean Grandy with the sandwich king of Causeway Street, Mr. Cedric Maxwell.
Max and I were talking about this. Can't be the worst thing sometimes, and then sort of coming back fresh. Did you feel that tonight?
Absolutely. Especially, I love to play this game. So anytime you're away from it, it makes you yearn for it that much more. So getting back out there with my guys was really fun tonight.
All right. So after watching several nights with Marcus Smart in the starting lineup and Gordon Hayward and eventually Jaylen Brown coming off the bench, I can finally say this is the lineup. I mean, after 2 months of jacking around and moving pieces, it took injury and circumstance to finally figure it out. But this lineup looks to be the winner. I mean, when you have Smart starting, the energy's there from minute one. The pressure is off Gordon when he's off the bench. And the chip on the shoulder of Jaylen Brown coming off the bench seemed to help last night. And on top of that, they're being aggressive once again. Not once again. They're being aggressive for the first time this season. Gordon Hayward's getting in the paint. Jaylen Brown last night, I mean, how many layups was he fouled on yesterday? A ton. And you didn't see that for the first 20 games of the season. And on top of that, with Rozier, Morris, Baines, Hayward, and Jaylen Brown, that's one of the better second units in the league.
It is. And this lineup will do fine for now. But I think ultimately you're going to see Morris and Smart go back to the bench, and you'll see Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward wind up in the starting lineup eventually.
And you hope that happens.
Right now, like, this lineup is perfect for what they needed.
Yes.
They needed a kick in the ass, and here we are. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're 14-10, and they're rolling, and they have a very easy schedule here in front of them. There's a real good chance for them to really take off in the short term, and this is what the lineup needs. Energy at the beginning, getting them started. Hayward looks great every time he's in there. The numbers don't spell it out from last night.
Yeah, he looked really good.
He was fantastic out there for long periods of time, and Jaylen Brown looked good because now he's more motivated coming off the bench. So this lineup works for now, but I wouldn't count on this for the long term.
I was saying this yesterday, Fred. I've seen Gordon Hayward do enough, like, dirty work in the paint, like go up for rebounds and come down, very similar to the kind of play where he snapped his ankle. I've seen it enough now where I don't wince anymore when he tries to pull that off.
He looks like he did 2 years ago.
Yeah,
this is Gordon Hayward.
You think his athleticism is as it was 2 years ago?
No, see, I don't agree with John on that. But I think that he is on his way.
He's confident. He's got
a confidence in his legs.
He does.
Yes, he does.
And I think that Jaylen Brown last night, a lot of that had to do with the embarrassment of coming off the bench, the chip on your shoulder that you have, and the fact that he went straight to the paint was fantastic, because no one's been doing that. Everyone's been, there have been too many passes, and you heard Kyrie say that even about Gordon Hayward,
and they're all making smart shots now. It's the team that we thought we were going to see at the beginning of the season.
Now, there's one problem. Aaron Baines, I think, is going to miss some time here. I mean, he turned his ankle over on someone else's foot. It did not look good, and it took the Celtics about 5 minutes to rule him out for the rest of the game.
Yeah, and Aaron Baines is like one of the toughest people on the team.
It did not look good.
So when he fell, Fred, like, you know, because you're Aaron Baines, obviously, Tommy Heinsohn's favorite gentleman.
He's like all of Australia. Yeah, he just came down another guy's
foot. He's big in all the right places.
You knew it was bad when Aaron Baines, after he twisted his ankle, just went over and just sat down with his, like, knees in his arms.
Yeah, just snuggled up against the basket support, like, that's it, I'm not moving.
And he wasn't even, like, wanting to make, like, a face that he was, like, in total pain. He was just like, I'm going to hang out here for a couple minutes until I absolutely have to move.
Yeah.
It was maybe, like, a good 45 seconds. He's like, oh, I'm cool. I'm just going to sit here. Just don't talk to me.
Why does no one throw up? Like, the one time I broke my leg, I started vomiting over the pain.
I thought there was a situation where a guy threw up when he broke his bone.
Because
it wasn't Paul George.
Hayward didn't throw up.
No. That was just, I have to be honest. I've only seen the Hayward thing twice. I saw it when it happened live, and then I told myself I was going to watch it one more time.
Oh, that stuff doesn't bother. I don't know why that bothers people.
Ooh, it's like, I don't know. I feel like phantom pain when they do that.
I've seen the Joe Theismann thing only a couple of times. I saw the Alex Smith thing once.
Did you ever watch Faces of Death?
No. I saw.
You never watched Faces of Death?
No.
First of all, it's the fakest thing.
Faces of Death was stupid. Right.
Well, not when they eat the monkey brain.
But that was in Indiana Jones. I had already seen that when I was a kid.
Well, this was way worse.
You know,
they're like, "Hey, there's an alligator in the lake. I'm gonna go get it." Yeah. It's like there's supposed to be the news, and then the alligator eats the guy.
Mm.
It was really real. So, see, I've become impervious to these things because of
Faces of Death?
Because of devouring Faces of Death as a child.
How many sequels did Faces of Death have? Like, I mean, there were like five Faces of Death movies.
Well, compared to, I mean, Faces of Death is a quaint notion now because now you can just go on the internet and see mass homicides. So.
Sure.
And beheadings and everything else that you want to see.
Yep, it is all sitting there. So, yeah, Gordon Hayward, as you mentioned, he came off the bench, but followed up his 30-point effort, just 8 points, but he looked great. He did look very good out there. And, you know, he did what he had to do. So the Celtics go for their fifth win in a row tomorrow night in Chicago when they take on the Bulls. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, Rich, when we come back, what will we discuss?
Oh, we'll talk about last night's Thursday night football, and you are kicking your own ass if you do not put Derrick Henry off your bench into your fantasy league last night.
If you have Deion Lewis, you got a lot out of him last night.
You got Deion Lewis, right?
Yep. And they gave him an opportunity to score at the goal line because they were up by 27.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get in. So good for him. All right. We will have that for you in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah. East Point. Smoke some dank. Call it all in the eye.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich.
That sounds like Brandon Merriweather.
Oh, yes, I did. You know,
well, it's the M.I. Cricket letter. Ain't no one better. And when I'm on the microphone,
when he was talking, that sounded like Merriweather.
It was me.
Which, by the way,
I have a restaurant in Apopka.
We might be able to get Merriweather on this week because he is promoting some sort of charity thing he's doing. If you follow him on Instagram. And
three the hard way.
And obviously, we love Brandon. And, you know, it's just that he's been busy this year. And for some reason, he said that he wouldn't be able to do it. However, for something like this, for a charity, I think that he would probably come on. Maybe we reach out to him this week and see if, you know, next week he could come on, give us a little Christmas cheer.
It's the charity I put together to give balloons to old people.
Why would you do that?
Just old people love balloons. You just give them balloons. You say, listen there, you're going to die soon. You might as well have some balloons.
Did you get that information from the movie Up? Is that the research you did?
No, Up is scary because I'll tell you why. If you put enough balloons on your house, you're going up into space.
I don't know why you would put that many balloons
on
your house.
You ever see Webster?
Yeah, you know, Webster got carried up to, matter of fact, he got dumped in a ditch.
If his father did not grab his leg, he would have been, where'd you go?
You see, they only show the ones that he didn't get away. You should have seen the times where they weren't so successful grabbing Webster. I mean, he would just like fly like miles above the sky.
Well, I remember there was a time where I dug a hole so deep, I ended up in China.
That actually happened?
Yes.
Okay.
I said, what the hell is going on here? I ended up in China.
Okay, what did you see in China?
What?
What did you see in China?
Just crazy stuff.
Did say like kangaroos?
I saw a bunch of old people with balloons. Balloons.
Thank you, Brandon.
That's how I got my ideas for old people with balloons.
All right. Well, we're going to have to reach out to him this week. But an ass kicking yesterday on Thursday Night Football, and you're kicking your own ass if you did not put Derrick Henry in your fantasy team yesterday.
Mariota gives it to Henry. Henry bounces it outside. 5, 10, 15, stiff arm. 20, 25, 30, 40, stiff arm. 50, 40, 30. He's on his feet. Big chase. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Titans! 99 yards! The longest run in franchise history! And the Titans are up by 11! What a run! Derrick Henry!
I'm going to tell you something. That was grown man run right there.
Hell
he
yeah.
was not going down.
By the
that
way,
stiff
Jacksonville
arm was as beast a move as I've seen in the open field
quit.
By a running back.
On that run they did.
No, they quit.
Yeah.
He broke like five tackles.
Yeah, Miles Jack came up to him and Henry took one hand and like tossed him aside.
Yeah, it wasn't even like a power move. He just like put his hand out.
Right hand. He had the ball in his left hand, right hand, took Jack, moved him right to left and tossed him down there.
That rot Marone. I can't wait. I love his humiliation with his big defense. Marone.
Oh my gosh.
Running up scores.
Look at these tackles. It's like half-ass tackling.
No, they're not trying.
I just want to show you that I've touched him and I made the effort to reach him.
No one like went for his legs and tried to pull him down. No.
They played tag.
They just walked up to him. Standing straight up.
There it is.
No one wrapped him.
Get out of the way. Here, Miles Jack. On the sideline. Watch this.
Okay, two people touch him.
Sir. You're going to have to step aside.
And then a third right here.
By the way, he's on the sideline. Yeah. I mean, just push
his
shoulder down. No one even wrapped him up.
Yep.
I mean, you're right next to him. Wrap him up. Slow him down.
I mean, that's
Jacksonville's completely quit.
They
quit on their own. It couldn't happen to a bigger prick.
Well, Derrick Henry ran for just 17 fewer yards than the Jaguars' total offense, who only had 255 yesterday. I think it was on Yahoo's Fantasy Sports, he got like 48 points yesterday.
Yeah.
Like 48. Which I wonder if that's like the best performance of the season by anyone.
McCaffrey had a day that was similar to that.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, I mean, it was, but either way, it's 8 losses and 9 games for the Jaguars. And you know what? I don't like Marone either. I do like Jalen Ramsey, however. But it is kind of fun hearing a guy have to talk after he did all that crap talking at the beginning of the season. Here is Jalen Ramsey on the situation.
Is it embarrassing to be on national TV and how this happened?
Super. Super. Like I said, it's sad, honestly.
Are you still locked in?
I mean, I had limited opportunities tonight. They ran the ball. They ran the ball down our throat. Yeah. 90% of the game. They did scream. Me personally, I didn't have a lot of ops to try to make a game-changing play. I mean, it is what it is. I go out there, I do what I can do. That's all I can do, to be honest.
That's all that I can do. Yeah,
I'm going to step out of the way of this train. It'll run over everyone else.
30-9 was the final score. The Tennessee Titans just absolutely stomped the Jaguars. So what do you do if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Well,
they've gotten rid of their offensive coordinator. They've gotten rid of essentially their quarterback. They've benched them.
Their offensive line, I was reading this morning, is so beat up. They're down to like their fourth string left tackle. Their center and their left guard are out for the season. And
what's Marone's contract situation?
It doesn't matter. He's getting fired. Marone he's butthurt against the Jets for something, and they were up on the Jets this season by a ton. Back when they were playing well, and he went for two with like no time left because he's a little baby and he wanted to like screw you. So Marone is a terrible coach. He always has been. I have no idea how he keeps landing jobs, so he can go rot somewhere else.
Well, I mean, he did a good job last year.
Yeah, well, they went to the AFC Championship game and now
with Blake Bortles. So,
yeah, and with a defense that was playing out of this world and he couldn't sustain it. So he's fired. Good done. He's lost that team. Derrick Henry had a 99-yard run that should have been a 30-yard run.
I mean, that was embarrassing. Like, the effort was just absolutely embarrassing.
He's lost the team. They're not trying. You can't keep them. I mean, a lot of bad teams have made the AFC Championship game. Or not bad, but mediocre teams.
Jesus, the Patriots made the Super Bowl in 85 with a garbage team.
Yeah, but that Jacksonville defense was special last year.
Yes, it was, and now it is not.
Yeah, no, it definitely is not.
No, he wasn't able to control that locker room. He wasn't able to control all those personalities. And now they're having to dump a bunch of people. Jalen Ramsey's not going to be on that team next year. So have fun with that, Jacksonville. You know, you couldn't come in and steal the show.
No, you definitely cannot. And I wonder how that woman's doing right now.
I mean, she's probably, you know.
Took it to the limit.
You know, last night probably was a little tough to her because they didn't take it to the limit.
That's right. Are you having a good day today, Jacksonville?
Certainly not.
Yeah, I didn't
think so. Maybe you need to go find someplace to travel.
I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
Okay, well, I'm glad to know that it was a couple minutes from the beach.
Well, that's like because she's lying and she's adding that detail to make it less.
She's just going to get called out by her friends who are watching it on
TV. Yeah, like, no, well, no, she's like. You know, I'll add this detail to make it seem more true.
Of course. By the way, this is my favorite rumor so far. So yesterday, Fred, there was a story where Kevin Durant was being interviewed about, I don't even know why it was brought up, but about LeBron James and how, for some reason, superstars are hesitant to play with him in Los Angeles. And he was like, well, why would a superstar want to do that? I mean, he's front and center. He's got all these, like, geeky fanboys in the media that make it a pain in the ass. What do you call it? A toxic environment?
Yes.
Because of the geeky media fanboys that follow around LeBron James. And he said, yeah, so why would any person like Kawhi Leonard want to be in that environment? And now you're starting to find out the type of players that might want to play with LeBron. And that's because, according to LeBron James, his camp wants Carmelo Anthony to become a member of the Los Angeles League. The Banana Boat crew is getting back together.
You know? He wants him strictly because it's his friend.
That's exactly why. Because, I mean, LeBron James is, despite how they play in the regular season, in the playoffs, it's going to be competitive. The West is really tough. Competitive does not mean he is going to be in the Western Conference Finals. I don't believe that by any stretch of the imagination. However, he's going to turn it on, and the dude is just special when it comes to when the pressure's on. However, that dude's like 70% right now into basketball, and the other 30% is just like, I'm making movies,
and
I'm going to enjoy myself. Yeah. The fact that you want Carmelo, did you see what he did when he was with the Rockets?
Yeah.
Like just the selfish basketball is at an all-time like career low, I believe, as far as points scored and just like sloppy play.
This is far and away his worst season.
Yeah. So, I mean, but you know what? It's perfect. And I've said it before. There's no team there's two players. If you have Carmelo Anthony or you have Dwight Howard, your team is not going to win a championship. So please, by all means, Carmelo Anthony, go to Los Angeles. That would be phenomenal to watch. And, you know, play with Rondo.
Yep.
Get in there with Rondo. Just get thrown in that pot and see how you end up making out.
Well, it's good to have friends in high places, and Bert Breer is one of them. He's going to join us for the next hour. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.